Well, good morning, everybody. I trust everybody can hear me. Well, thank you for being here to share the Dharma together today and to share a day of sitting. These Zazenkai and extended sittings are of enormous importance in a lay practice. We don't have the luxury of living in a monastery where the normal sitting schedule is 5 hours a day. And the only difference between that and Seshin is in Seshin you sit 10 hours a day. And at the end of Seshin, which is about once a month in a monastery, there's a closing ceremony around 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the last day, and then someone announces the regular evening sitting will begin at 6 this evening. And so there's no going home and no going home. You're just there. So these Zazenkai are of enormous importance because they are an opportunity to deepen our practice in a way that we don't do in our everyday lives. A fundamental teaching of the Buddha is impermanence. Things, phenomena, dharmas with a small d, arise and pass away according to causes and conditions. Here today, gone tomorrow. Now you see it, now you don't. Everything is up the conjurer's sleeve. Our lives are just appearance and disappearance. Can we look at things like that, appreciate them in the moment, and then let them go, realizing that they have no independent existence? Today we'll look at case number 53 in the Bianlu, the Blue Cliff Record, which is Hekigan Roku in Japanese. The Baizhang and the Wild Duck. Once when Matsu was out walking with his disciple Baizhang, he saw a wild duck fly past. Matsu said, "What is it?" Baizhang said, "It's a wild duck." Matsu said, "Where has it gone?" Baizhang said, "It has flown away." Matsu then twisted Baizhang's nose. Baizhang cried out in pain. Matsu said, "Has it indeed flown away?" Matsu, whose dates are 709 to 788 of the Common Era, was a Dharma grandson of the sixth Chinese ancestor Wei Nung. He and Dharma brother Shi To were the seminal figures of 8th century Chinese Chan. Here's what Heinrich Dumoulin writes in his History of Zen Buddhism. In the center of the new Zen movement stand two masters, Matsu and Shi To, both belonging to the third generation after Wei Nung. The Zen chronicles describe the new surge of energy in moving terms. West of the river, the great solitary one, Matsu, is the master. South of the lake, Stonehead, Shi To, is the master. People gathered there in crowds. Whoever has not seen the two great masters is regarded as an ignoramus. Generations later, monks still made pilgrimages to the provinces of Changxi, which is west of the river, and Hunan, south of the lake. Maybe they hoped to get something via osmosis. Matsu himself was one of those characters who filled any room he walked into. It was said that he walked like a bull and had the gaze of a tiger. His rough and ready style, as seen in the present case, of hitting, shoving, and shouting, became the model for many later teachers, and many of his paradoxical statements live on as koans in the Rinzai tradition. Bai Zhang, whose dates are 720 to 814, is Matsu's most eminent disciple. He's credited with formulating the rules of monastic practice, and also for the development of the self-sufficient Chan or Zen monasteries that were not dependent on government largesse. He emphasized the value of samu, manual labor, as a central practice for the Zen monk. His most famous saying is, "A day without work is a day without eating." He was the teacher of such worthies as Huang Bo and Gui Shan. But in the present case, he is still a disciple. Once when Matsu was out walking with his disciple Bai Zhang, he saw a wild duck fly past. Matsu said, "What is it?" Bai Zhang replied, "It is a wild duck." Matsu asks a seemingly innocent question, and Bai Zhang gives a seemingly innocent answer. So do we all know what will happen here? Aha! The naive student and the brilliant master. Bai Zhang is about to get nailed. But the commentator Yen Wu, pulls a switch. He writes, "If you observe this with a correct eye, unexpectedly it's Bai Zhang who has the correct basis, whereas Great Master Ma is creating waves where there is no wind. If you want to be teachers of Buddhas and patriarchs, then study Bai Zhang. If you want to be unable to save even yourselves, then study Great Master Ma." What is that? It's a wild duck. What is that? It's a crow perched in a tree. What is that? It's a car passing by. It's a child playing. It's a homeless man at the intersection. What is this? It's a cup. Why get zenny about it, as Robert Aitken used to say? It's a wild duck, then it flies away. The sun rises and sets. Rain falls, the earth gets wet. It really is that simple. Or rather, I should say that it can be that simple. But it depends on what is behind that "it has flown away." Is there an image left over? Is there an idea, a concept of something that we consider, that we conceive of as real, or an existent duck that we can attach to? Matsu said, "Where is it gone?" Bai Zhang said, "It has flown away." The duck was there, then it's gone. Where's the problem? There isn't any, if there is no attachment to phenomena, which is to say, no creation of phenomena. Coming and going is important only if we attach to the label, only if we create something of substance to cling to. Concepts like duck, here, away. If a bird were to fly by the window of this zendo and I asked you what it is, how would you respond? Where are the ducks and where are they gone? Impermanence is really just another term for cause and effect. If something were really permanent, then it would be without cause. The notion of cause and effect only means anything if things arise and pass away. So our lives, we ourselves are really nothing but the process of arising and passing away. Cause and effect. It is our practice on and off the mat to observe all this, the constant arising and passing away of everything. But acceptance of this fact, this observation, is only part of the story. Yes, I think we can all acknowledge, intellectually at least, that nothing is permanent, not even the physical universe. But if we stop there, it can lead to a kind of nihilistic despair. 500 years from now, we'll all be dead, so what does anything matter? But cause and effect is not predestination. There is always a choice. And that choice exists in this moment. It is in this moment of sitting, of walking, standing, lying down, or changing attire that we have the choice to attend to this moment or not. All other notions of freedom or liberation are illusion. In this moment, there is neither time nor space, no existence or non-existence, no duck, no baijiang, no matsu, no you, no me. So what brings us to this moment? Matsu twisted Baijiang's nose. Baijiang cried out in pain. Matsu said, "Has it indeed flown away?" Well, that's one way to do it. Matsu twists Baijiang's nose. Ouch! What happens to coming and going when we get a sudden shock like that to the system? Case number 28 in the Wu Men Guan reads in part, Deshan went to Longtan and questioned him sincerely far into the night. It grew late, and Longtan said, "You had better retire." Deshan made his bows and lifted the blinds to withdraw, but was met by darkness. Turning back, he said, "It is dark outside." Longtan lit a candle and handed it to him. As Deshan was about to take it, Longtan blew it out. At this, Deshan had sudden realization. Suddenly, everything goes dark. What happens to coming and going? When Yun Men went to see Mu Zhou, Mu Zhou yelled, "Who is it?" Yun Men said, "It's me, Yun Men." Mu Zhou opened the door, grabbed Yun Men by the robe and said, "Speak, speak." Yun Men hesitated. Mu Zhou said, "Useless stuff," and pushed him out. But Yun Men still had one foot in the door, and Mu Zhou slammed it, breaking Yun Men's foot. Yun Men fell back with a cry of pain and came to awakening. If a bowling ball is dropped on your foot, where is coming and going in that moment? The duck has flown away. Is there a duck that does not fly away? Are they the same or are they different? If we realize that which does not arise and does not pass away, then there is no loss. But this no arising, no passing away is not about conventional notions of memory. It is not dependent on anything to do with consciousness or any of the five skandhas. With a twist, Matsu destroys everything about the duck except that which is indestructible, never born, never dying. And where is that to be found, if not in this moment? If you observe the surface of the ocean, you see waves. They are constantly changing, rising, falling, catching the sunlight, unpredictable. They have a limited life in the world of time and space. But just under the surface is the deep, silent darkness, the timeless. Which is the real ocean? Can you have only the surface and not the depths? Or vice versa? Waves rise and fall, but the water, the essence, remains regardless. The duck appears and flies away. That's the surface. Deep in our zazen, no arising, no passing away. Buddha nature, the nature that is the nature of all things, is beyond time and space. Here in Zazenkai, we work to abandon the surface and plumb the depths for a little while. At the end of the day, we resurface and go back into our busy lives, but with a greater awareness of that darkness, a greater intimacy with it, and we are less apt to get caught up in the impermanent surface nature of things. Now, this story has a sequel related by Master Yen Wu in his commentary. When Ma Zu went up to the hall the next day, as soon as the congregation had assembled, Bai Zhang came forward and rolled up the bowing mat. Ma Zu immediately left his seat. After he had returned to his abbot's quarters, he asked Bai Zhang, "I had just gone up to the hall and had not yet preached. Why did you roll up the mat right away?" Zhang said, "Yesterday I had my nose twisted by you, teacher, and it hurt." Zhu said, "Where were you keeping your mind yesterday?" Zhang said, Today, the nose no longer hurts." Zhu said, "You have profound knowledge of today's affair." Zhang then bowed and returned to the attendants' quarters, crying. One of his fellow attendants asked, "Why are you crying?" Zhang said, "Go and ask our master." The attendant went to ask Ma Zu. Zu said, "Go ask Bai Zhang." When the attendant returned to their quarters to ask Bai Zhang, Zhang laughed loudly. The attendant said, "You were just crying. Now why are you laughing?" Zhang said, "I was crying before, now I'm laughing." Bai Zhang cries out in pain, then he doesn't. Where did the pain go? Has it really gone? One day he cries, then he laughs. Where did the crying go? Where did the laughter come from? If we see arising and passing away from the standpoint of a constant, unchanging self, that is delusion. If we see the self as arising and passing away each moment, along with all phenomena, as all phenomena, that is enlightenment. All changes in this empty world seem real because of ignorance. If this moment is all there is, how can there be arising and passing away? And if there is no arising and no passing away, where is the duck? Where is the laughing and crying? Where are you in this moment? Words, concepts and ideas, even flights of fancy, are fine as long as we are grounded in the reality of this moment. Is the duck anything other than our true nature? If you are indeed the duck in the deepest sense, you are everywhere and every when. How can there be flying away? Where is the duck in this moment? Where are your grandparents in this moment? Where is the family dog? Be careful here. It is a duck. It has flown away. Yesterday my nose hurt, today it doesn't. Before I cried, now I laugh. At Kinhin I walk, now I sit. I breathe in, I breathe out. Yen Wu is right. That's all there is. Just practice like that. Together with all beings, we realize the way.